I want you to go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, please. And I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse number 4, and let's stand. Romans, chapter 2, and verse number 4. And I just want to call your attention mainly this morning to the last half of that verse. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? This is the part I want you to pay attention to this morning. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, Paul is speaking concerning a group of people who are guilty of committing the very same sins that they judge and condemn others for doing. In verse number 3, he rhetorically asked these hypocrites, and that's what you are when you judge somebody else for something you're doing. He rhetorically asked these hypocrites if they think that they are somehow going to escape the judgment of God while they judge others for doing the same things that they're doing. He then accuses them of despising God's goodness and God's forbearance and his long suffering. Then we come to our text this morning. We just read it. And basically he says, don't you know that God's goodness is what should lead you to repentance? The title of my message this morning is God's Good Path to Repentance. God's Good Path to Repentance. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Roger Eunice, would you pray for the message and then everybody can be seated. Yes. It is a privilege, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Now, repentance is a doctrine of the Bible that is either conveniently absent from much preaching today or it's incorrectly taught. I'm not going to spend much time this morning on what true repentance is because I've already been done. It's already been taught here through lessons and preaching. To repent means to have a change of mind, which should lead to a change of heart, which should lead to a change of action. The Bible says that a man must repent to be saved, but after he is saved, he must continually live a life of repentance if he wishes to stay in fellowship with God. But according to our text this morning, our number one motivator that should be the most instrumental in leading us to a change of heart is the fact that God's been so good to us. It should be. Years ago, I remember a preacher told me, he said that this is how he would pray for backslidden Christians. He said, I just pray that God will be so good to them that it would arrest their heart and they would have to return to God in repentance. He said, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. He says, so I just pray that God be so good to them, they'd want to change their mind and come back and be what they needed to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about that this morning. It doesn't matter. There may be someone sitting here this morning and you are lost. And unfortunately, but it's the truth, if you are lost, you are on your way to hell this morning. And it doesn't matter if that's your condition here this morning or if you're sitting here and you're saved. You're just as saved as anybody else in this building. But you know in your heart that you're not right with God. God's goodness should be the path that leads you to Him. This is goodness. We say a little blessing when we teach our children to eat. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. Well, listen, He's good and He's great and He's given us much more than breakfast. He's given us much more than supper. And what I want to do here just for a few minutes this morning, this is what I want to do. I just want to give you a few things that I want us all to think about. We just need to think about this morning. And I want you to see just how good God is to us who are undeserving of it. Just how good He's been to you. And hopefully, it will convict you and encourage you in such a way that you will repent. Change your mind if you're saved here this morning and come back and follow Christ like you're supposed to as a His child. Or repent and change your mind about the Savior, about your sins, about your lost condition. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be gloriously saved from hell this morning. Amen. Just a few things I want you to think about, and that'll be the message. Number one, I want you to think about this, and this applies to you whether you're lost or saved. It doesn't matter. Talking about God's good path to repentance. Number one, have you ever just sat down and just thought about this for just a while, that God gave His only Son for you? It's not that He died for the world. I know that He died for the world. Thank God He died for everybody. Thank God He died for all humanity. Have you ever just sat there and contemplated and just thought on it just for a while? He died for me. He died in my place. He was the innocent dying for the guilty. He was my substitutionary atonement. I should have been on the cross. I should have felt the spear. I should have felt the nails. I should have had the beating. They should have murdered me. Well, it wouldn't have been murdered. I deserved it. They should have killed me on the cross and put me into hell. I'd just been getting what I deserve. If you're sitting here this morning and you're lost, you've come into this church this morning, you've never been saved, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is your only way to heaven, and God is the only one that can provide salvation for you. And He did that through Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about something. If God never did anything else for you this morning, He gave the most precious thing He had, His one and only begotten Son. And God took on the form of a man and condescended Himself down here on this earth and put Himself in our place and went through the things of a man for 33 years. So now when the ministry of reconciliation takes place to get us back in good standing with God, because we're not in good standing with Him if we're lost, you know the man that does it? It's Christ Jesus. It's not Mary. It's not the Pope or no other man. That Bible says there's one mediator between man and God, and it's the man Christ Jesus. You're not going to get right with the Father unless you come through His Son. That's how you get right with God. That's how you get right with the Father. You get right with the Son. So I want you to think about that. What is the first verse? If anybody ever does memorize a verse, there's one they'll usually get. That's John 3:16, ain't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's been good to you. Now let me tell you something. I love you folks, and I can honestly say that. It ain't a superficial thing. I can honestly say I've been here long enough now, I made a connection, and I love you. But can I be honest? I wouldn't give my son for none of you. And my son, if I did give him for you, he wouldn't help you. But Jesus Christ came. God gave His one and only Son. If ever you feel like, well, things are bad and things don't seem fair and things don't seem... We all go through that. You may not verbalize it, but I know it gets in your heart. It runs through all of our minds and all through our hearts. If you ever think, I just don't know if God really cares, and why did He do this, and why did He allow this... Just always go back to this one simple thought, Christian. Way back yonder 2,000 years ago, my God gave the most precious thing He has for me. And He suffered for me. And He died for me. So I don't have to go to hell. Now, if you're lost, that ought to do something in your heart to want to come get saved this morning. And if you're saved here this morning, and you realize how good God's been to you, it'll do something in your heart to make you want to get back right with God again. Walk with Him like you used to. Number two, I want you to think about this. He hasn't let you die. The Bible says that it's God that killeth and maketh alive. He's been merciful to you. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're sitting here lost and on your way to hell, guess what? Guess what? Talking about the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that you're still breathing. It's the goodness of God that you were able to come in here this morning and be able to listen to a man tell you about how to get saved out of a King James Bible. God let you live. He could have killed you 6 months ago. You could have been in hell 3 years ago, but it's the God's mercy. Why? Because He's so good to us. It is the goodness of God, the goodness of God that you're able to hear and come here today. And you don't have to leave here lost this morning. That Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. He said, if you come unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. Come to Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He said, I'll give you rest. Amen. You come unto Jesus for salvation. He's been very merciful. I tell you something else, how He's been merciful to you. I guarantee you, I'm preaching to some Christian here this morning. I'm preaching to some Christian here this morning that if you die today, if you died sitting in here, if you died before you got out of that back door there, do you know what would happen? You'd be in trouble with Christ. I didn't say you'd be lost. I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. I'm saying you'd be in trouble with Christ. You wouldn't have a barbed wire crown at the judgment seat because you know you ain't right with God. Some of you may know that you ain't been right with God in a long time. You know there's things in your life that God's dealing with you about and you refuse to deal with it. You know your heart's not right. Your spirit's not right. And you know what it is? It's just the goodness of God. The goodness of God that He's let you come in here alive and to hear this morning. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Boy, if you just knew how right that is. It's got absolutely nothing to do with me. It's because God's good and He wants to do it for you. Amen. And you don't have to die in a backslidden state and face God in trouble. You don't have to die lost. You can know that you know that you know that when you draw your final breath, you're going to be with Jesus. Absent from the body, present with our blessed Lord. He hasn't let you die. You know why you ought to repent this morning? Because God's so merciful to you. Listen to me. God is long-suffering. He's slow to anger. And He's merciful. Amen, church? Amen. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Slow to anger and of great mercy. What a great verse. I think I'll just read it again. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. How about that? He's long-suffering. You say, why should the goodness of God lead me to repentance? Because He's long-suffering. He doesn't get mad near as quick as you do. He's merciful. Anybody in here say, boy, I've experienced the mercy of God. Amen. God ain't giving me near what I deserve. Amen. I know the Bible says you'll reap what you sow, but I prayed for crop failure a few times, and I believe God might have done it. Yeah. He didn't give me all I earned. I know that. He's a merciful, loving. I know you used to me getting up here preaching hard and telling you because you need to be warned. It's my job to warn you. It's my job not to preach a lopsided God. See, that Bible says over there in Romans chapter 11, behold the goodness and the severity of God. You got to get them. You can't get them lopsided. He is good, but He's severe. You got to preach both of them. And many times I preach a lot on the severity of God because it's my job as a pastor to warn you and to make sure that you're ready for that judgment. But this morning, I'm not doing that. I don't even want to do that. I want you to realize how good He is, how merciful He is, how loving He is, how long-suffering He is. Let me ask you something. If you knew somebody knew everything about you, all the darkest secrets in the world about you that nobody else in this world knows, and you knew that somebody still loved you and loved you unconditionally, what would you say about somebody like that? Don't you think that would demand your love? Don't you think you would have a tender feeling toward them? Well, that's God. If you're saved here this morning, God knows every way that you've blown it. He knows all the bad things about you. He knows some bad things about you you don't even know. Tucked away way back there. And he said, I love you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. I'm long-suffering. I'm compassionate. I'm merciful. I want to work with you. I'm not up there in heaven with a ball bat ready to bust you in the head with it. I want to see you get right. That's God. Now, if you'll think about that, that ought to cause somebody in this church to want to get right this morning. Amen. It'll cause somebody in this church to want to repent. Change your mind. And after you change your mind, head in the right direction for the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else I want you to think about. God is a God of forgiveness. How about that? People talk about God giving you a second. Listen, God's given me a second and a third and a fourth chance. Amen. You know what will lead you but to repentance and lead you back to the Lord here this morning? If you're saved, it's just thinking about all the times you've blown it and God didn't put you on the shelf. Amen. You know, I've heard all my life, and I'm not going to say it don't happen because it does happen, and I know it could happen to me or anybody. But the big thing that the Bible believers always try to scare me with or scare other people with, you do so and so and God's going to put you on the shelf, and God will put you on the shelf. He'll never use you again. I'm just going to be honest with you. There is no way I should be up here on this platform in this beautiful sanctuary preaching to all you people. No way. If God's going to put a fellow on the shelf, as much as I'm messed up and things I've done, things in my heart, he ought to put me on the shelf a long time ago. Amen. He ought to have been finished with me years ago. Sometimes I feel like in some ways I'm just getting started. If I live long enough to go, God's not like that. He's forgiven us two times and three times and four times and five times and six times and seven times and eight times and nine times and 10 times. He just forgives us over and over and over, don't he? You know what that ought to do for you? If you're sitting here and your heart's not right and you're not right with God and you know you're not right with God, you ought to think about that. You ought to think about how merciful and long-suffering, how God doesn't get near as put out with you as you do with him and others. And I want to say this, God is never through with you if you're not through with him. Are you sitting here this morning and say, Brother Dennis, I just sure ain't where I need to be. Okay, that's pretty much where most of us are. Do you love him? Do you want to see him do something in your life? Well, that means you're not through with him. And guess what? If you're not through with him, he's not through with you. How about that? That's worth coming just to hear that. I want you to think about something else about God, the goodness of God leading you to repentance. God is very kind and patient to tolerate such evil. You look around on this world, you say, God, why don't you burn it up? Why don't you burn it up? Why you let all this mess go on? Our country's crazy. Our country is an insane asylum run by the inmates. I about decided anybody up in major political offices way up yonder somewhere, ain't none of them got a bit of sense. I think they go to bed at night and the devil's leaning over their bed said, I don't understand that stuff. Well, I do. It's the devil. But we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But you know why? You never ever wonder why would God take some of the good people that he's taken in this church at a younger age? And leave Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland's in his 80s still rooking people. Because there's stupid people out there sending their money. You know what? If you can't look at Kenneth Copeland and listen to what he says and look at his face and tell he's a devil, then you deserve to have all your money taken away. Buy him another jet. Why does he let Kenneth Copeland stay alive and take some of the people in this church? Why? You know why? I don't know the mind of God. I'm not even pretending to. I think sometimes he looks down there and says, all right, you've served me, you love me, you're coming up here. I'm kind to the wicked. I give years to the wicked they don't deserve. Giving them more days and more opportunity to repent. There's a verse I really like over there in Luke 6:35. Luke 6:35, he says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest. Notice what else he said. For he, talking about God, he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Do you believe God's kind to the unthankful and to the evil? You're looking at an unthankful and evil person. Now, I know some of you don't believe that about old Brother Dennis. And some of you don't believe it about you. But I've read this Bible. And I know what it says about me and you. And you know all I can say after I read that Bible? Is I have to throw my hands up there and say, God is kind to the unthankful and he's kind to the evil. That's exactly right. I want you to think about this. God constantly and consistently blesses us with blessings we don't deserve. I thank God for being born in America. I didn't choose it. Maybe I could have been born in some third world something. Maybe I could have been born in a place, even here in America, where I hear screaming and hollering and dope and drugs and abuse and human trafficking all up and down the stairs in the apartment complex where I live, like millions do in this country. You ever thought about how blessed you are to live where you live and to have what you have? You ever think about that? The mind that you have, it may not work like it used to. Mine certainly doesn't. But the mind that you have, the money that you have, you say, I don't have much money. Listen, everybody in this room is considered rich, the great majority of the people that live in this world. We are. The possessions that you have, he is constantly and consistently blessing us and giving us stuff over and over and over now, isn't he? And what do? We don't do a thing for him. We just take it. We stick our hands out like he owes it to us, and he doesn't. And we go on and we make our own decisions, independent of him and independent of his book. We live our lives like we want to, and we never give him a second thought. Oh, unless a youngin gets sick or my wife wants to leave me. Then I come up here and boo-hoo, I cry at the altar. Oh, God, save my youngin. Oh, God, save my marriage. And he does. And you're back out of church and back out of your Bible and back off your knees from praying, and the FBI can't find you. I've seen that scenario happen over and over and over in my ministry. And yet, God continues to answer your prayers and continues to be long-suffering and show his kindness and continues to pour out the blessings on you. Amen, brother. Amen. Let the saints testify. He's great. Amen. And I can't imagine what would want to lead a man to repent this morning. Anything greater than that. Just a few more. I want you to think about this morning. No matter how many times we throw our Lord under the bus or fail to affectionately serve him, he never stops loving us. And the Bible promises that he never will abandon us. I'm probably preaching to some people in here that's been abandoned. And sometimes if you had a bad father, it's very difficult for you to understand a loving father. Sometimes when you teach and preach to people about God being a loving, merciful, good father, especially if you're a lady and you had a bad father or a very, very wicked father, unfortunately, like some people have, you can't imagine a loving father. You can't comprehend a loving father. You can't imagine gentle, kind, compassionate hands. Don't mistake what an earthly father did to you and claim it's anything like a heavenly father. It's two different things. Not even in the same ballpark. Not even in the same ballpark. You know what it says about our heavenly father? For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Maybe your earthly daddy left you one day. Maybe he walked out on your mama and left you there. But your heavenly father won't leave you. He said, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. He's going to do what he says and says what he does. And then there's another verse, Romans 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is not going to stop loving you. And it doesn't matter what your performance is. What you do and you don't do. Does that make anybody in here want to bow their head and say, God, I sure would like to give it a little better shot. I sure would like to come to you this morning and get all of this under the blood. Leave out of here in good fellowship with you. I got one more thing that's real special to me. The Lord pities you. I've heard folks say, well, I don't want you pity. Well, I do. Matter of fact, my wife can tell you I do pretty good with pity. Well, a man ought not want, well, you call me whatever you want to, but I'll take it. Poor, pitiful me. You know, years ago, and I don't know why, I don't like to do it, but I always do it because I don't want to come across hard to people, but I don't like signing Bibles, and I go around and preach revivals and go places, and these kids and different adults, different people, they have me sign their Bible. Years ago when I was signing the Bible, I'd sign it 1 Corinthians 15:58. Here the last several years, though, the verse that I sign a Bible is Psalm 103:13. If I've signed your Bible in the last couple of years, I've signed it 103:13, Psalm 103:13, and I'm thinking about signing it now, going on to my third level, Psalm 103:13-14. And these are those two verses. My favorite verses in the Bible, Psalm 103:13-14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows what we are. And he pities us because of that. Now, if you don't want his pity, give me your share that he has for you. I'll take it. I want it. I need it. He said, what ought to stir in my heart to want to get things right with God? That God looks on us with pity. And God looks on us, he says, you know what? He ain't nothing but a pile of dirt. That's my commentary on the passage. Ain't that what he said? He said, well, he remembered that we were just dust. I'm not talking about that song by Kansas, dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. That's pretty true, though, ain't it? Just dust in the wind, man. Thank God I got a soul that goes up there with him.
Amen.
Now, listen. I've done everything I know to do. If God ain't going to deal with your heart this morning about repenting, there ain't really nothing else I can say. I could preach to you today that unless you repent, you're all likewise going to perish. And that's the truth if you're sitting in here lost today. I could vehemently declare unto you who are saved, but you're out of fellowship with God, that you're going to be in big trouble at the judgment seat of Christ, and you'd better repent today. And of course, that would be true, and such preaching certainly is necessary. But today, whether you're lost or saved, I want to call you to repentance because God has been so good to you. Out of our love, appreciation, and thankfulness, we ought to want to honor and please God with our lives. Amen, church. How can we not want to be good children when we have such a good father? That is God's good path to repentance. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. And there is no one you should ever care more about than Jesus. Ever, head bowed and eye closed.